You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, everyone. This is Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. We're here for MLB.com Extras, and we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Phillies. Matthew, this is a team that I think fits the old saying about you can't tell the players without a scorecard. If they did everything that has been rumored that they could do before the trading deadline, there's going to be a whole new clubhouse there by the time August gets here.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any non-first-place team that's going to be watched more closely and with more interest than the Phillies as the deadline approaches. I mean, for all, they're still playing games, and yet constantly the talk is about who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, who can they move, what are they trying to do, and if they do make moves, what are they trying to accomplish? Will it be for next year? Will it be for longer down the road? This is a team that I'm not sure anybody really knows what they're thinking, but everybody's very curious, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think from what Ruben Amaro Jr. has said, they certainly don't look at this as a total rebuild, but they want to get players back who can help them, I think, in the short term. It's going to be interesting to see what value some of these players are. Cliff Lee, just coming off the disabled list, probably would have two starts before the non-waiver trading deadline. A couple players, Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley, who would have some attract some interest, but have complete no-trade clauses. So it's going to be a real intriguing team to watch, I think, between now and July 31st. We're here with Todd Zielecki, Phillies beat writer for MLB.com. And Todd, I think the Phillies are sort of keeping these websites that report trade rumors in business. What's the latest?
Yeah, everybody seems to be assuming that the Phillies are going to trade pretty much anybody that they can trade before the deadline. And you do look around the roster, and you do see some guys that could certainly help some teams, but, of course, it's not always that easy. So, I've heard everything from, the Phillies are going to be super active to don't be surprised if they don't do anything by July 31st just because of the nature of some of the contracts they have attached to some of the players that might have the most value. And, the Phillies is, I guess, belief that we're not just going to give these guys away. They say that they're not in salary dump mode, so they don't feel compelled by ownership to just get rid of everybody. But certainly from what I've heard is they are thinking about everybody. They're listening on everybody. Some guys are more available than other players. But, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they trade like a Jonathan Papelbon and Tony Bastardo before the deadline, but they, hold on and trade Cliff Lee and, maybe some other guys after the trade deadline in August when they can clear guys through waivers.
So you think a pitcher like Cliff Lee might make it through waivers?
I guess he's got a shot because he is owed $37.5 million after this season, and he is just coming off the disabled list with an elbow injury. So, there might be a team like the Yankees that might roll the dice and take a shot at it, but I think maybe some of the more budget-conscious teams might say, oof, I don't know if we can claim this guy off of waivers. So if he does clear waivers, certainly that gives the Phillies some more flexibility to try to work a trade in August. Otherwise, I've heard that, they're more than happy to try to trade these guys in the offseason.
Todd, there's been a lot of speculation that while everybody may be available for the right price, the two guys they really don't want to trade are Chase Utley and Cole Hamels. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, it is. Cole is a guy who, I think I looked at the numbers, he's owed at least like $95 million after this season. But the thing Cole has going for him, he's 30 years old, and you look at some of the contracts that are out there right now for starting pitchers. Guys that are older than Cole Hamels or at his age are going to be hitting the free agent market, taking 7-8 year deals, and Cole's really got 4 years left on his. So, in a sense, it's kind of a bargain for the Phillies to hold on to him. They think they can rebuild with him as a centerpiece at the top of the rotation. So, I think they would have to be blown away to trade Cole Hamels. Not to say they wouldn't do it, but they would really have to be like, okay, we'd be stupid to turn this one down. And I think the same holds true for Chase. They really value what he brings to the clubhouse and his just kind of his work ethic. And he's still a productive second baseman. So I think those two guys, more than anybody, the Phillies would really have to be convinced that they're getting some good quality talent in return to consider moving him.
Cole Hamels aside, there's also been speculation about several of the Phillies starters. Cliff Lee, we mentioned, Kyle Kendrick, and A.J. Burnett. What do you think are the chances of those guys still being here after the deadline?
Well, I talked to A.J. right before the All-Star break and asked him what his thoughts were, because he's got a limited no-trade clause, and he said all the right things. You know, he didn't say, I want out, I want to play for contender. He said, hey, I signed up to be in Philly. I'm not going to ask for a demand a trade just because times have gotten rough. But in the same breath, I said, what would you do if Ruben came with you at the trade proposal? He said, well, I guess I'd have to hear what he had to say. So I think A.J. certainly is open to accepting a trade to a team. You've heard Pittsburgh and Baltimore attached to his name a lot. So I think there's a decent chance he could be moved. And Kendrick, I think, is a guy I was saying and writing about a month ago that, to me, Kyle Kendrick reminded me a little bit of Joe Blanton when the Phillies got him in 2008. You know, not a flashy trade by any means, a bottom-of-the-rotation guy, but a guy that could eat up some innings. But right now, Kendrick has struggled so badly over the last several weeks and really all season that you wonder if that value is actually going to be there for him. So I think right now it would be tough to get Kendrick to trade Kendrick unless you just are willing to take whatever kind of middling prospect you could get for him.
If the Phillies were able to trade, say, Lee, Kendrick, and Burnett, what would the rotation look like for the rest of the year after that? And is that a consideration for Ruben when he decides how many of those pitchers to trade?
Yeah, I think it is, because you'd have Hamill, certainly. And right now you're looking at two guys in AAA, David Buchanan, who replaced Cliff Lee in the rotation. He would get called up. And Jason Marquis has an out in his contract, I believe July 31st or at the end of July or near the end of July, that he needs to be in the big league. So, if they trade Lee, they trade Burnett, I would suspect Buchanan and Jason Marquis get the call-up to replace them. Now, if they end up trading another guy or losing another guy in free agency this offseason, say they like Kyle Kendrick, they do. They really do have some holes to fill. So I think that's another kind of piece of the equation that I think the Phillies are considering, but people from the outside might not realize.
Jimmy Rollins is another player who has a full no-trade because he's a 10-5 guy. Have you gotten any sense of whether his thinking about accepting a trade has changed in the last couple weeks?
You know, Paul, in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago, I went up to Jimmy the next morning after Jonathan Papelbon said, why would anybody want to play on a losing team, kind of flippantly? And I said, you know, what do you make of that comment? You know, does anything change your mind? He's like, Todd, you don't need to investigate. I said, well, I just thought, he's like, you don't. If my mind changes, I will let you know. But I'm telling you, you don't need to investigate this. So I took that as nothing has changed right now. You know, I know he said, I think it was to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Jimmy told a story about how he was talking to his wife about, okay, honey, where do you want to go, Detroit or Oakland? And she said, I want to stay here. And he kind of repeated that story to me the same day. So it does not sound like he is very eager to go. He's won a World Series here. His wife is from here. He's got a history here. So all those things considered, I think unless the Phillies come to him and say, Jimmy, we just don't want you as our shortstop anymore, we're going to go in a different direction, I think he plans on staying.
One last trade question, Todd. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. What one or two Phillies would you be surprised if they were still here after the non-waiver trading deadline?
I would be surprised if Jonathan Papelbon is still here, and if this is kind of a guy that's a little bit under the radar, but Antonio Bastardo. And if you're a team that needs a closer, Jonathan Papelbon has had a great year. I know he's owed a ton of money after this year, $13 million next year, and $13 million with a club option after that. But if the Phillies agree to eat some of that money, I think there's going to be a team out there in need of a closer that is going to say, you know what, if this is the difference between us winning the World Series and not winning the World Series, we need to get Jonathan Papelbon. So and plus his outright vocalness in wanting to leave, I think, is going to play a role in the Phillies trying to be aggressive in terms of trading him. And then Bastardo is a guy who not a lot of people talk about, but he's a quality left-handed relief pitcher. He's under team control. He's relatively affordable. And I think for that reason, a team that needs a lefty in the bullpen, I think, is going to be interested in Bastardos. And I really don't think there's anything holding the Phillies back from trading him either, because they have two lefties, and younger lefties in the bullpen right now, in Diekman and Mario Hollins, that I think makes them a little bit more comfortable about trading him.
Beyond trades, Todd, there are some other issues going on with the Phillies now. I know Ryan Sandberg has expressed confidence in Ryan Howard, but unless Ryan starts hitting a little better, especially against lefties, how long can he continue to play every day?
Yeah, that is a big, big question right now. And Rhino did hint about this before spring training, and they've kind of hinted at it a little bit recently when we asked Ruben Amaro Jr. about Michael Franco, the AAA prospect, and said, you know, if you bring him up, how do you get enough at-bats for him? He's like, oh, well, he can play first base, too. We would put him in at first base, which is Ryan Howard's position, obviously. So they seem prepared to maybe try Michael Franco a little bit first base. If Darren Rupp gets a call up at some time from AAA, you know, he can play some first base, but clearly the production that they're getting from Ryan Howard is not what they need it to be for a guy getting paid $25 million and to hit the number four spot.
Coming out of the break, Grady Sizemore seems to be sort of an everyday player. Does this impact Dominic Brown more or Ben Revere more in your mind?
Boy, I kind of think it almost is going to impact Ben Revere more, because I think the Phillies know what they have in Ben Revere. They have a guy with great speed and is a light-hitting singles hitter. He's not all of a sudden next year going to hit 10 home runs and start driving the ball. You know, he's a slap hitter, doesn't have an arm in center field. But I think the Phillies still look at Dominic Brown and they see some potential in there of the guy that made the All-Star team last year. So I think almost if Grady Sizemore continues to play well, could kind of nudge out Ben Revere more than Dominic Brown.
Looks like Carlos Ruiz might be close to coming back from the concussion. What will it mean when he comes back?
Well, I think it could just – it certainly would help the Phillies pitching staff a little bit. You know, Carlos is a guy that really, when you look at the stats this season, he's really underperformed. I think he has like 14 RBIs in a time when he was healthy, the pre-concussion time. And that's something that needs to improve. You know, they signed him to a three-year extension, pretty much based off the year he had 2 years ago. You can argue the reasons to do that or not to do that. But they certainly are hoping that when he comes back, he can be a little bit more productive offensively, because he really did not produce lower in that lineup while he was here the first few months of the season.
Thanks, Todd. That was Todd Zielecki, the Phillies beat reporter for MLB.com.